Welcome all of you. We don't know how you came, but we're glad that you came. Hallelujah. And we believe that you're not here by accident or by a whim, but we believe you're here because of the appointment of our God. And if the Lord is moving upon your heart and you feel at home here, we want to welcome you to call this place home, whether you're here for a year, whether you're here for a week. We want to let you know that here we are one big family. I'm going to welcome all the newcomers. All right, hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, so why don't you look for a newcomer. Just smile at him right now. All right, look for a newcomer. Just smile at him. Say welcome. Welcome. We're glad you're here. All right, hallelujah. God's answering prayer. All right, hallelujah. Are you guys received? Ready to receive the word of the Lord today? Let me just say, yeah?
Yeah.
Today we're going to begin with a little video. So media team, we on record. We good with the podcast? Are we good to go? All right, here comes the video. All right, turn off all the lights. Let's check out this video together. Let's get the lights back up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You didn't think you're watching old episodes of In Living Color. You don't know. Y'all don't know. Some of y'all don't know In Living Color, right? Back in the day, man, nobody watched Saturday Night Live for a while. It was just all In Living Color. Hallelujah. Yeah, J-Lo got her start there and all the Wayans brothers. Hallelujah. All right. Today's message is called The Lord of the... Oh, y'all doing all wrong. It's going to be like, BAM! All right. Where are my business cards at? All right. It says in Isaiah 48:3, I foretold the former things long ago. My mouth announced them and I made them known. Then suddenly, somebody say suddenly... I acted. That's my part. Suddenly I acted and they came to pass. Hallelujah. You know, our God is a God of the suddenlies. If you look at the dictionary or the thesaurus and you look up the word suddenly, suddenly could mean quickly, all of a sudden, abruptly, without warning, without notice. Out of the blue, out of left field, in the twinkle of an eye, sucker punch, bum rush, hallelujah. Suddenly, hallelujah. How many of y'all brothers in here ever got hit with a sucker punch in your lifetime? Yeah, brother man, Philly is the city of the sucker punch. They go, man, I don't want to fight you, man, I don't want to fight. Well, stop talking about my mom, I don't want to fight. Bam, you know, and just knock you out. All right, hallelujah. Anyway. The word suddenly, it describes our God. And that's why our title of today's message is, the Lord of the... Bam! Hallelujah. The Lord of the Bam. Our God is God of sons. If you look in the second chapter of 2 Kings, now I'm going to be jumping around the Bible all over today. So for your convenience, some of the passages will be up on the PowerPoint, some of them won't. This one won't. 2 Kings chapter 2, if you want to follow along. Here we have Elijah and Elisha. It's toward the end of Elijah's ministry. And Elijah is expecting any day now for God to answer his prayer to bring an end to his ministry. So this is what happens. They just cross over the Jordan River. And verse 9 it says, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Okay. And then Elisha replied, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Then Elijah said, you have asked a difficult thing. Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, not. And the word of God says, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly, a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elisha went up to heaven in a whirlwind. God didn't even allow Elisha to say goodbye to his mentor. Why? Because God is the God of the suddenlies. God just suddenly took Elijah away. Hallelujah. You know, something similar happens in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, we have Philip. And he goes up to an Ethiopian eunuch, and he explains the gospel to him. And then it says in Acts 8 verse 38, it says, he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And then the eunuch did not see him again. Hallelujah. Somebody say suddenly. Our God is a God of the suddenlies. He is the Lord of the Bam. You know, I notice when you read the Bible, God doesn't do sad goodbyes. Mm-mm. I guess when you've created time, it feels pretty ridiculous to get so dramatic about goodbyes. Amen? I mean, God is the Lord over time. But I notice he's not a big fan of sad goodbyes. Even the way that Jesus was taken from his disciples after he resurrected was very abrupt. You know, if you read in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, all right, let me turn there real quick. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It says, so when they met together, they asked Jesus, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Jesus is saying, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then Peter's like, yo, Matthew, man, you smoking that pipe again? Where all the smoke come from? What's going on? Hey, where'd Jesus go? Jesus, where are you at? Hey, there's Jesus right there. And suddenly, Jesus said, peace out. I mean, come on, no warning, no, like, I'm about to be taken from you. Get ready. It's just like, man, he's just speaking these words, and then he's out. Why? Because God is the God of the suddenlies. Man, that's kind of traumatizing, right? I mean, and Jesus, you know, if you were one of the disciples, I mean, you know, you would just want Jesus to stay forever, you know? You know, you didn't know that after he resurrected, he was going to bounce out like that. Maybe they thought that he was going to stay forever. But God, he peaced out of there. But you know what? God Just as God suddenly took Elijah away from Elisha, there's a spiritual truth to be learned here. God suddenly took Jesus away from us. And just as Elisha received the double portion of Elijah's spirit and went on to minister double the miracles, so Jesus also is suddenly taken from us and he gives us a double portion of his anointing on those who believe. Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 14:12, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. That's pretty crazy. He says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Well, Jesus, you did a whole lot. You're telling me I'm going to do what you did? Jesus is like, yes. And then he goes on further. He says, he will do even greater things than these, hallelujah, because I'm going to the Father, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, receive that into your spirit. We are not to just repeat what Jesus did, but Jesus said in his words, you will do greater things than this. You will be my Elisha, hallelujah. You will do double the works that you see me do, hallelujah. And we got to receive that into our spirit. You know why? Because many generations past, they didn't really receive it. Because you got to receive it, believe it, you got to let it sink in there, and then God will do the work to bring it to fruition. Let us be a generation that does not reject that word in John 14:12. Hallelujah. And in fact, not only was Jesus' goodbye sudden, everything about Jesus' ministry was sudden. The start of his ministry was also sudden. It was prophesied in Malachi 3:1. It says, see, I will send my messenger, that's talking about John the Baptist, who will prepare the way before me. Then, suddenly, hallelujah, the Lord you are seeking will come into his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty, hallelujah. Now, God didn't spend 6 months announcing the beginning of his son's public ministry. Right, up until that point, he was just a carpenter. But when the time came, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit, fasted in the desert, and then he suddenly appeared at the temple in Nazareth. Read from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and then he said, it is fulfilled today in your hearing. And people would be like, what? Right, it was so abrupt, it was so sudden. People were like, man, this carpenter boy must have fell off his ladder this morning. What is he talking this gibberish about? Hallelujah. They desired to see the Messiah, but because Jesus presented it in such a sudden manner, so abruptly, and also because he grew up in that town in Nazareth, they rejected him. And he got so angry that they almost threw him off a cliff. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' public ministry, it began suddenly. Hallelujah. Man, that's the truth. Some people in this time, in this hour, God's preparing you. There's people in this room, God's preparing you for a mighty powerful anointed ministry. You know what? God's not going to announce it in the news. He's not even going to let all the leaders of your church, you know, you're preparing you. You know you're getting prepared for something. You know something big. It's like David. David knew there was something big. Him and God, there's something big. And then suddenly, God raises you up to do the things that he's been preparing you to do. Hallelujah. God is the God of the suddenlies. Not only was his public ministry suddenly started, but his resurrection was also sudden, right? So it says in Matthew 28, bam!
Up there.
Let's get that verse. That verse is up there, right? Bam!
Hallelujah.
I say bam!
Hallelujah.
All right. Matthew 28, verse 8 to 10. So it says, the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. And then they ran to tell his disciples that the tomb was empty. And the word of God says, suddenly, woo, Jesus met them and said, greetings. He said, and they came to him, clasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Hallelujah. Man, my question about the resurrection is, man, why couldn't Jesus just lay there in the tomb? You know? And then the ladies come, you know, and he just kind of wiggles his finger a little bit. And he slowly sits up and he says, hey, remember what I said about my resurrection? Then why couldn't he do it like gradually, you know? Why couldn't he do it like easily, like, you know, kind of not startle these women? Why are you going to just stand up with a big smile or something? But nope, our Jesus, He's a God of the suddenlies. Hallelujah. And He's got to make these surprise resurrection appearances even after this appearance. You know what He does, right? Disciples all gathered together, they all huddled together, they all afraid. You know, what if the Roman authorities do something? What if all the priests, high priests get together and they try to get us too? You know, and they're all scared. They locked them in the one room. They know nobody can come into that room. And they're just talking with each other. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Is that a ghost? Is that a who? What? It's me. Is that you, Jesus? Man, Jesus appeared. He made these sudden appearances, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is the Lord of the suddenlies. He's a God of the bam. Hallelujah. Not just did Christ's public ministry begin suddenly, and not was His resurrection sudden, but even, you know, that Christ's ascension was sudden. And in the same way, the Word of God says Jesus' second return will also be sudden, brothers and sisters. This is the word of the Lord. This is the hard teachings that we don't like to preach about every week. You know, because Christ's return will be sudden, Jesus teaches us over and over again to keep watch. Don't live your life on autopilot. Don't get complacent. Don't stay in your backslidden state. Because the day of the Lord will come suddenly. It says in Mark chapter 13. Bam! Bam! But bam! Come on, media team, hook it up. Man, why are you going to leave me hanging like that? Mark chapter 13. Jesus said, "Therefore, keep watch. Because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back. Whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If He comes suddenly, do not let Him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everybody. Watch." You know, Jesus, in Luke 17, He likened His return to the days of Noah and to the days of Sodom. If you study those accounts, how did the flood come? Somebody say suddenly. How did fire and sulfur start raining down on Sodom and Gomorrah? Suddenly. Hallelujah. That's right. And Jesus said, you know, did God give them a deadline? You know, repent and save yourselves by this deadline, huh? Suddenly. Hallelujah. And in the same way Christ says, just as it was in the days of Noah, in the days of Sodom, His return will be sudden. While men and women are eating, drinking, up in the club, given in marriage and being given in marriage. Hallelujah. Jesus will return. And therefore, we got to keep watch and live our lives wisely. The Word of God says in Luke 21, verses 34 to 36, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and in the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly, like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Hallelujah. You know, Paul, he told us that it's frugal to try to predict the times and dates of Christ's return. Because he said the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Hallelujah. Because God is the God of the suddenlies. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, it says, "While people are saying peace, safety, destruction will come on them suddenly." Hallelujah. Paul goes on to say that although it will come suddenly, God's people should not be surprised by it. You know, the kind of life you live will determine whether you get surprised by Christ's return or not. We need to stay alert and self-controlled. You know, while we're on the topic, let me point out that Jesus said in Luke 21, pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. Hallelujah. What is Jesus talking about here? All right, if you read in Luke chapter 21, what are some of these things that are going to happen? What are some of these? It says, Luke 21 says, it talks about false Christs, talks about wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences. Jesus said that people are going to lay hands on you. And we ain't talking about like a anointing for prayer. And people are going to lay hands on you. Hallelujah. And we're going to be hated by all men because of Christ. Nations will be in anguish at the roaring and tossing of the sea, and men will faint from terror because of the signs in the heavens. They're going to be thinking all kinds of things. NASA's going to be reporting. NASA's going to be like, there's this comet coming to our earth. There's this happening. This is a supernova. They're here, supernova. All kinds of reports can come from NASA saying, hallelujah, at the coming of the day of the Lord. And Christ may or may not be talking about the tribulation here. I mean, this stuff sounds pretty bad. Sounds like it's going to be pretty difficult. I'm hoping this is as bad as it gets. Hopefully this is description of tribulation. But some people think it's not the description of tribulation. Tribulation is going to be far worse. And some may say that the tribulation, the reason why they say it's far worse is because they believe in something called the rapture. Pre-tribulation rapture. All right, in the Latin Vulgate translation of the Bible, it's the only place that that word appears in that translation in Latin, where we get the word rapture. Now, the issue I want to mention is that when Jesus is telling us to pray for our escape here, some people interpret that to mean, pray that you'll be spared all of these difficulties through a sudden pre-tribulation rapture for all believers. That's what they think Jesus means when he says, pray that you may escape. Pray that you be part of this rapture. The sudden rapture. And this is very popular among Pentecostals and evangelicals today. All right, you guys know Tim LaHaye and the Left Behind series? You know, Kirk Cameron's movie? Right? Hallelujah. Pre-tribulation rapture. We're going to get spared. We're going to escape all this trouble. Now, personally, when I read this chapter, and then I read Matthew chapter 24, which is very similar, and I read it along with it, no matter how much I want to favor a pre-tribulation rapture, I find it incredibly difficult to conclude on such a teaching. When I read the words of Jesus telling us to pray that we may escape all these things that happen, I read it as meaning that, pray that you may endure it. All that is about to happen, so that you can stand before the Son of Man, unashamed. That's how I read it. And I know that, you know, there's a whole array of different beliefs out there with this. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news. You know, last week I preached on God's goodness. The week before I preached on joy, hallelujah. And I love the good things that God brings to us. But you know what? The end times, you know, it's not going to last like 50 years, all right? Tribulation is supposed to be 7. Alright. I believe, hallelujah, you know, my personal belief is, you know, there ain't no pre-tribulation rapture. If you really read the scriptures, there's a lot more scripture that tells you that you better be ready. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I believe that any or all of these things mentioned in Luke 21 can happen suddenly to us. None of us are immune. Whether tribulation or not, none of us are immune to these type of things. You know what? It's already occurring in many parts of the world. Right? Wars. Look at Africa, the last decade. How many wars have they had? Rwanda. You saw Hotel Rwanda. Look at the crisis in Sudan and Darfur. Wars and wars. People dying. Refugee camps filled up to the brim. Tsunamis. We had a tsunami recently, a few years ago. Took out almost over 100,000 people in a few days. One of them was an NYU classmate. was vacationing in Thailand. Earthquakes. You saw earthquakes in China this past year? Man, messed China up. I mean, you're talking like city like Seoul getting hit with an earthquake so bad, they can't, the roads are so destroyed that they can't bring in help. You ever imagine that? You should be thankful for those roads. Because those roads ain't there. People can't get ambulances to you. People can't get fire trucks to you. People can't get to you. And there are whole cities that were trapped. An intense persecution. We all know about what's going on in India. And you know what? India is just a small piece of the pie of what's really happening in the persecution of the world. You know, many people said that in the last decade, there has been more persecution in the church than all of the centuries in the past combined. There have been more Christians that have died for their faith in these last 10 years than all of the 2,000 years combined since Christ was ascended. Brothers and sisters, these things are already hitting the people of God, and they're hitting them suddenly. It's not like churches are getting ready for this stuff, and they're like, okay, here comes the earthquake. God told us about this earthquake. It's going to come here. No, they're getting hit with it suddenly. But Jesus is telling us we are not to despair or to be filled with anxiety like the rest of the world when these things happen. Because when these things happen, I mean, you look at America right now, man, so what if the economy's doing bad? And when it comes down to it, you're still going to get your McDonald's out there. You're still going to go out, and you're going to, if you need a new pair of shoes, you're going to go buy that pair of shoes. You're going to probably buy it on sale, too. The economy doing so bad. But yeah, so many people mad. The economy, you know, the reason why the economy doing worse than it really should be is because people panic. And when people panic, they pull out their money from the banks, and that makes the economy, economic situation a lot worse. But Jesus says you don't act like the rest of the world. Don't get filled with that kind of anxiety. Jesus tells us to stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is near. Hallelujah. Jesus tells us, Matthew 24:14, this gospel will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And whatever temporary hardships and pain we suffer, brothers and sisters, let me guarantee you, it will be quickly forgotten when the everlasting joy of the Lord comes at His return. It's like a mother who gives birth. I don't know nothing about that. But I heard. You know, Sister Sarah and Ron, our brother Ron at Jubilee, they just had a baby. And you know, the pictures they posted on Facebook, you know, all they got is smiles. Right? You don't see Ron all like filled with anxiety and looking like all worried. You don't see Sarah like grimacing in pain. You just got smiles. Even after it happened, you don't see them grimacing. You see all smiles. Why? Because the joy of having that baby erases completely, helps them to forget the last hours of labor that they went through. And Jesus said, these signs of the end times, they're like the labor pains of a woman. For the church, that's how it's going to feel like. But brothers and sisters, do not lose heart. Stand up, raise up your heads, for your redemption is near. But I guarantee you, when you see the face of Jesus, you will forget all the hardships you might have endured in 7 years of tribulation, or however long hardships God brings you through. Hallelujah! Amen. And this to say, no matter what your view of the end times, I'm telling you, we serve a God of the suddenlies. And in case that you are wrong about the rapture, alright, in case, alright, tribulation breaks out, you can tell that signs are there, and we are in the middle of the 7 years, you find out you're still on the earth. All right, let me point you, and you want to put down that Left Behind book, pick up 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a good place to look. All right, and I know there are people that have different views. I respect that. This is what your pastor thinks. And I believe 1 Peter 4 is the best chapter on arming ourselves with the right attitude regarding the end times and any suffering that we participate in. Peter says himself that those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to Him and continue to do good. So when you face persecution, you are not to stop doing good. You're to continue doing it. You know what? This may not be the message that you want to hear today, but what I'm saying is, suddenly any of our lives can be hit with adversity and or tribulation. I mean, just think about our grandparents' generation in Korea. They were suddenly hit with a civil war where millions and millions suffered and died. Our grandparents in the States, they were suddenly hit with the Great Depression. Our brother Job in the book called the Bible, hallelujah. Our brother Job was suddenly hit with calamity. You notice what Job went through? Woo! He was a rich man. He had servants, he had children, he had a beautiful wife. All that taken away suddenly. And then God even took away his health. Sores broke out on him. Hallelujah. And Peter tells us that we shouldn't be surprised at the painful trial that we may suffer as though something strange was happening to us. Instead, he told us, just like Jesus told us, rejoice if you are insulted or persecuted so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. You know, when Jesus' glory is revealed, there are going to be people that are joyous. And there are going to be people that are overjoyous. They're going to be like, whoa, over. 이거 좀 over 아니야? You know? And those are the people who rejoiced in the middle of the persecution. Because that joy is going to be all theirs. They're going to be like, this is my joy. Don't tell me to stop dancing. Don't tell me to shut up. I'm overjoyed. Hallelujah. And although the end times may involve suddenlies that make us uneasy, hallelujah, I also want to bring a teaching here. There are many good things that we can also expect from the Lord that come suddenly. Hallelujah. Our God is a good God, amen? When you look in Acts chapter 9, let's talk about some of the good things that God brings suddenly. All right, hallelujah. You know what, the reason I started with the bad news is because y'all need to arm yourself. You know, our church, you know, you guys are enjoying this right now. There's going to be revival coming. There's going to be outpourings coming. There's going to be good stuff. Hallelujah. But you know what? If Jesus does return in our generation, it's not going to be like this forever. And you may not be in an environment, hallelujah, like Joe and Jenny may go to China. And then 2 years from now, while they're there, you know, tribulation can break, a war could break out. Something can break out. Hallelujah. I'm not prophesying. I'm just saying. Give me like a scenario. Arm yourselves, my brother. Arm yourself. Hallelujah. Get ready to rejoice in that suffering. Hallelujah. And you know what? You know, hallelujah. You know, it's not going to be always like this. And so we got to arm ourselves, get ready for the bad news. Why? Get ready for anything. Why? Why? Because our God is the God of the suddenlies. He's not going to consult you before he brings it. He's just going to bring it. He's going to be like, bam! Hallelujah! It's the end of the world. Right? I'm serious, man. Jesus, this is all about the bam, I'm telling you. That In Living Color sketch, man, it was Jesus inspired that sketch. He's all about that bam. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at Acts chapter 9. Let's look at a different kind of bam here. It says, Acts chapter 9, verse 1 through 4, meanwhile, while Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, he went to the high priest, asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, somebody say, suddenly. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul. Saul. Why do you persecute me? Right? It was like, bam! Saul. Saul. Why do you persecute me? Man, now I'm not sure if Saul fell to the ground because he got overwhelmed by the power of God or because he just got startled, you know? Hallelujah. That boy was on the ground. Now my question to y'all is, how many of you guys have relatives or friends that are not yet believers? Hallelujah. You know, how long would you say that you've been praying for them? Shout it out. How long have you been praying for some of them? Years. Years. You know, I'll tell you right now, I've been praying for my father, who's not a Christian, since I was 12 years old. What does that make? 17 years. I've been praying for my dad to be converted for 17 years. And every time I meet him, I look for a sign that God's doing something. You know, God gives me this and that sign. But you know what? When I hear the words that are coming out of his mouth, he still hates Christianity. He hates the church so much. You know, there's people that don't hate Christ. They just hate the corruption in church. They hate the way the church treated them. You know what? Because there's a lot of churches out there that are not spirit-filled. You know, the Bible says the letter kills. The spirit gives life. When you build a church based on letter, like rules, based on just letters, religion, man, it kills people's souls. It makes them aversion toward the church. But hallelujah. But yeah, I've been praying for my dad 17 years. And brothers and sisters, my word for you today is, if you've been praying, brothers and sisters, for that long and you haven't seen anything, my word to you today is, don't stop now. Hallelujah. Because the word of God says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, 15. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him. We know that we have what we asked of him. Brothers and sisters, we got to be confident when we pray according anything according to the will of God, that we got it already. Again, it says in Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Jesus doesn't say, once it's yours, believe it, and give me thanks for it. He says, believe it before you receive it, and it will be yours. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, as we continue to pray, as we continue to cry out, as we continue to reach out to our relatives, to our friends, suddenly they're going to be converted. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The word of God says that as Saul was on the road to Damascus, suddenly, like bam, a light from heaven flashed around him, and hallelujah, he was converted. He was never the same again. But we've been praying for many years. We might not see nothing in the natural. But you know what? In one day, in just 1 hour, God acts, and suddenly, everything changes. That's the kind of God we serve. So if we understand this, we got to be faithful in prayer. Although we may not see any results, we got to believe that God is a God who is full of surprises. And he can change something in a split second. Hallelujah. You know, you might be in years of financial debt, and suddenly with a touch of God's favor, God can take you from being in debt to overflowing your cup. Hallelujah. Yeah, you gotta receive that word in Deuteronomy. You will lend and not borrow. You will be the head and not the tail. You gotta receive that before your credit card debt's all gone. You know, when I graduated from NYU, I had over $10,000 in credit card debt. I'm not proud of that. And I made a lot of sacrifices to try to pay it off. Man, when you got a debt that big, interest rates that high, man, no matter how much sacrifice you make, how much lump sums you pay off, it looks like it's going nowhere. And I'll testify, as I kept faithful in my tithes and offerings, and I prayed for God's favor, suddenly, hallelujah, after 4 years after my graduation, in September of 2005, two anonymous gifts were donated to my ministry, and my balance was at zero. Hallelujah. I prayed for that long. I didn't give up. I kept saying, Lord, hallelujah. I received that favor in advance. Hallelujah. You know, I didn't even tell anyone about my debt. I didn't even tell my mama. I better not. I did tell the Lord. And suddenly, hallelujah, he acted. You know, there might be some of you out here who are sick, or you know somebody who is suffering from a chronic or terminal condition. And I want to give you the words that will electrify your faith. On the chapter on fasting in Isaiah 58, it reads in verse 8 of Isaiah 58, it says, "Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear." Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You know, you might have suffered for many, many years, but just like the woman with the issue of blood, your healing will quickly appear. Amen? Just think about her condition. The Bible tells us she had that condition for 12 years. And the sisters in here, and since I'm married, I know how, you know, well, I know about this stuff. All right. A little bit. I just know a little bit. Man, well, all right. That's enough of that. And that's not that's a horrible condition, especially in a culture where you are shunned, you're outcasted. Because according to Jewish ceremonial laws, if you have menstrual bleeding, you're considered unclean for a period of whatever many days. She was unclean all the time. She was outcast. Nobody hung out with her. Even the women did not hang out with her. And the Bible tells us she spent all of her money, doctor after doctor, no results. No results. But you know what I like about this woman? She kept seeking her healing. When she heard about Jesus coming through the town, she didn't say, "Oh, you know what? I tried everything. What's this guy going to do for me? What's God going to do for me now? I've suffered for this for 12 years. Might as well just learn to live with it." Now, Christians today, you know what they would tell her today? They would tell her, "Hey, why don't you just take a rest? Perhaps it's God's will for you to glorify Him through this disease." That's exactly what a lot of Christians would say to her. But I like this woman. She wasn't having none of that. This woman must have known Isaiah 58:8, because the Bible says that she pushed through that crowd. Hallelujah. Because she knew she couldn't approach Jesus. She was bleeding. And all the Jews would have gotten upset at her. Pushed through the crowd behind and touched the edge of Jesus' cloak. And the Word of God says, immediately her bleeding stopped. Hallelujah. Suddenly, quickly, her healing appeared. Amen? Hallelujah. Or like the invalid at the pool of Bethesda. Just like this man, your healing, brothers and sisters, will quickly appear. You know how long this guy was an invalid? The Bible says he was an invalid for 38 years. Man, I haven't even lived 38 years. Can you imagine living as an invalid for that long? All the years of your life. You need people to help you go to the bathroom. You need people to help you buy food. Horrible condition. He'd been in this condition for so long that he had lost all hope. In fact, he didn't go to Jesus. Jesus went to him, hallelujah. Because our God's a God of grace. Jesus went up to him and asked him, "Do you want to get well?" Oh, hallelujah. And the guy responded with all these excuses of why he couldn't get into the pool and get his healing. And Jesus said, "You know what, I'm not even listening to all that." Jesus interrupted him and said, "Take up your mat and walk." And all this guy had to do was have just enough faith just to obey that word. He could just have a mustard seed of faith and mountains will move. He just had the mustard seed of faith just to believe what Jesus told him. Get up and walk. Take up your mat and walk. And the Bible says, at once the man was cured. Hallelujah. Amen. Suddenly his healing appeared. Oh, hallelujah. Whether you seek out Jesus or Jesus comes to you. Hallelujah. Our God is the God of the suddenlies. Don't you ever let the devil tell you that your condition is permanent. Your condition is going to take your life. No, you hold on to the Word of God. You say, "With long life, He will satisfy me. God forgives all my sin and heals all my disease. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You keep telling yourself and declaring the Word of God over yourself. Because one day, suddenly, your healing will appear. And for this church here, JSCM, I want to say, we serve a God of suddenlies. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Bam! Bam! Come on, Judy. Bam! Somebody, Acts chapter 2. I'm going to read it. Oh, you don't have it? All right. Acts chapter 2. My bad. That was me then. Acts chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, suddenly.
Suddenly.
Bam! Hallelujah. A sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes suddenly. Amen. The baptism of the Spirit comes suddenly. Amen. The fire of God, when it falls suddenly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what? I've seen it all. It could be people that have been seeking the fire for like a year, or it could be people that are doubting the fire. Man, when the fire falls, it falls suddenly, especially through a person that God has appointed, anointed in that way. Hallelujah. Remember Elijah and the prophets of Baal? Right? The prophets of Baal, they tried everything. Tried to make fire come down from heaven. Nothing happened. Elijah set up the altar, put all this water on it just to prove to them that really there was a real fire, that he wasn't like throwing a match behind his back or something like that. It's going to come from heaven. And what does the Bible say? Suddenly, hallelujah, that fire fell on that altar, consumed everything up. Everybody was so shocked. Oh, oh, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. Hallelujah. And Elijah was gangster. He was like, man, get them swords. And then, all the prophets bowed. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, as JSCM has been praying for a greater outpouring here, and we've been fasting for these 42 days. Let us hold fast to the promises of God. Just as He did at Pentecost, God will one day, He'll suddenly come upon this whole church with a mighty Niagara outpouring. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Suddenly our church, it's going to hit 300, amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm telling you, man, it's going to... And I was telling the Lord, why can't I see like some steady growth, Lord? Why are you actually shrinking the church right now? Well, not today, but, you know, in the past weeks. You know, we're like consistently at 100. Recently, we're in the high 80s. Yeah, the way I would do it, I was telling God, if I did it, like, I would do, like, every 2 months, like, increase it by 20. Just to give everybody a sign that this is what you're doing. You know? And then if you do it that way, then it's like in 10 months we hit 300. That's plenty of time for leaders to get mature and get ready and all this stuff. You know? God, why don't you do it like that? And I was preparing this message and God's like, my ways are higher than your ways. I'm a God of the suddenlies. Oh, you want that 300? I'll give you that 300. You keep praying. Don't worry about figuring out how to make it happen. You're not making it happen, by the way. I'm going to make it happen. And when I do it, I'm going to do it suddenly. I'm the Lord of the Bam! Hallelujah!
Woo!
Woo! And so one Sunday, y'all going to show you, I'm like, whoa, where all these people come from? Well, I got no place to sit. That will be your problem that Sunday. Suddenly, hallelujah. Suddenly, a whole bunch of y'all are going to get married, amen? Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened to me. All right, when I was 19, I thought I'd be married at like 22 or 24. When that didn't happen, man, every year I waited, it seemed like it was going to last forever. All right? Then finally when I hit 28, then suddenly, God brought Aaron into my life. And then after we started seeing each other, we hit a few roadblocks. So we had to break up. And we just trusted the Lord. We didn't want to manipulate the situation. We didn't want to like force the situation. We went to prayer and fasting. Then suddenly God began showing us His favor. Then when we decided to get married, we hit more roadblocks. Man, at one point we thought it would take 3 or 4 years before we'd actually get everything where we would be at peace at getting married. It looked like it would be like 3-4 years. And I was like, Lord, are you sure? Hallelujah. You know what? And Aaron and I, we just kept praying like crazy. We went hiking. Aaron hates hiking. But we went up hiking together. We went up on a rock and we just kneeled on that rock and we prayed. Hallelujah. Pray for the city. We pray for God to move upon our situation. In fact, man, all that prayer, man, it wasn't even that prayer when I prayed with her during that time. I prayed for years before. And you know, I was tempted to take matters into my own hands, but God said, you wait upon me. You wait upon me. Confident. I was confident that God is a good God. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. God just said, you know, don't worry about all details. You just keep your walk blameless. You just keep your eyes on me. And then in April of this past year, by God's favor, suddenly, on one Sunday, our wedding date was set. And I drove her home that night and I was like, are we really getting married on that day? And hallelujah. Suddenly, we started having to prepare for a wedding. We only had about 3 months to do it. But you know what? Didn't bother us one bit. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we serve a God of the suddenlies. Lay all your burdens and cares at his feet. You may not see how everything's going to work out. But you know what? You don't have to. Your part is simply to believe. And trust the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Stay faithful. Stay expectant. And as you do this, God will work behind the scenes. So that suddenly, things will turn out for your favor. Hallelujah. Suddenly, you will reap what you have sown. Suddenly, you will see the goodness of our God. And as a church here at GSCM that is being shaped as an army of God, you know, armies need to constantly be ready. May this word go deep into our church today, that we'll be an army that's ready for the God of the suddenlies to act. Hallelujah. We trust in the mighty God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, you are so good, Lord. And God, for you to really show us your goodness, sometimes you don't do anything. It doesn't look like you're doing anything. And Father God, Lord, we get impatient, we get anxious. But God, Lord, we just at those times, may your grace abound to us, that we may wait upon you. That we will not give in to our temptations to take matters into our own hands, but rather that we will wait upon God of the suddenlies. Hallelujah. And trust that, God, Lord, things that have been held up for 10, 15, 20 years, oh God, can in one moment, oh God, Lord, suddenly, oh God, it can be changed and transformed. Oh God, Lord, our fathers, our siblings can suddenly, oh God, be revived, oh God, Lord, and serve the living God, oh God, Lord. Hallelujah. Our debts, our financial troubles and worries, suddenly, oh God, Lord, with the touch of your favor, oh God, we will lend and not borrow, oh God, Lord. And our church here, oh God, suddenly, oh God, Lord, we will see, oh God, a mighty rushing wind, oh God, Lord, that will sweep through our church, oh Father. And we'll bring forth, oh God, Lord, a revival that has been unprecedented through the generations to prepare for the return, the sudden return of your Son Jesus. Father God, we just praise you. We just put our trust in you today, God. Oh, glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah.